We're in the Advent season, and it's time to celebrate the holidays, right? And what would a holiday be without some good food? That's right. Who likes good food? And who celebrates holidays with good food? Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, the greatest things in life happen around the table with good food, and good food is essential to good life. Am I wrong? No. The best food is a food that is enjoyed with the company of family and friends and those you love when you can come together. And the greatest example of this is found in Jesus. Let's find out more. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 6. Now in your bulletin it says our scripture reading is 6:29 through 59. We'd be here all day if I was to read that and to preach on it. So I'm going to read verses 29 through 40, but I'm going to preach on that whole passage. When I told the staff earlier this week that's what I'm preaching on, I was asked, "You going to read that all?" I said, "I'm still thinking on it." And then I got the flu, and I didn't have the opportunity to tell them, "I'm going to preach on it all. I'm just not reading it all." So here, reading verses 29 through 40, I invite you to follow along with me. Jesus replied, "This is what God requires, that you believe in him who God sent." And they asked, "What miraculous sign will you do that we can see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus told them, "I assure you, it wasn't Moses who gave the bread from heaven to you, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." And Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I told you that you have seen me and still don't believe. Everyone whom the Father gives to me will come to me, and I won't send away who comes to me. And I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the one who sent me, that I won't lose anything he has given me, but I will raise it up at the last day. This is my Father's will. All that who see the Son and believe in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on this passage and allow it to sink into our hearts, fill our cup. Fill our soul. Fill our hearts with the bread of life, with the faith of your presence here with us, right here, right now, and with us always. In Jesus' name. So if you're anything like me, and as you're preparing to celebrate Christmas in this Advent season, you know, you're making that your way, clearing that space for more Jesus in your life. You're getting ready for food and all the celebrations and all the events that are happening. Your Christmas senses are heightened. Your excitement builds. Your hope builds. Your energy builds. Is that anybody else? And also, your anxiety, it builds. Yes? This energy and this hope and this excitement and this anxiety, it all revolves around the holiday of gathering together around food. And I like some good food. I've been known to enjoy it a little too much at times. Yeah, but there's something else I've noticed, that when we gather together and we gather around the table and we gather at food, people tend to act a little differently. They tend to be a little kinder, a little more generous. They're a little bit nicer, and then there's this deeper sense of connection. And then through that connection with each other, we experience the divine connection with God. And when we read our Bible, there are numerous moments where we find, where we read, where we learn, where we hear about God's presence and power gracing people at the dinner table. For example, when Jesus began his ministry, he came out, he launched his ministry at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, at a wedding banquet where there was food and drink. And his first miracle was to turn water into wine because he understood the importance and the foundational importance of having a good feast. Then, on multiple occasions when Jesus is teaching, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he compares the kingdom of heaven to a great banquet. And he says that the host is inviting everyone he can, and ultimately, anyone who is willing to come is invited to that banquet. Yet I love how he equates heaven to a great banquet, a great feast with plenty of food for all your friends and family. And then just before our scripture today, one day Jesus, he's traveling and he's on the mountainside and he's teaching, and there's thousands and thousands of people gathered around, and they've been with him all day long, and it's getting late and they're getting hungry. And he wants to feed them. The little boy comes up to him with 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and Jesus takes those and he gives thanks for them, and he hands them out, these 7 items of food. He hands them out to his disciples, and they begin to pass them out to these thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are there. And they all get fed. Not just a bite or two, not just a morsel, but they all are able to eat until they are full, like Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner, full. There's more than enough to go around. And when they get done, the disciples go around to pick up the leftovers, and they fill 12 baskets with leftovers. They had way more than enough. And so the next day, as Jesus is teaching, these thousands of people find him again, and they're listening to him, and he begins to ask them, "What is it that you want? Do you want a miracle? Do you want to see something amazing? Something to astound your eyes? Something that you've never seen happen before? Or are you looking for food to feed your belly?" Because the pain of hunger was common. Starvation was a normal thing. And for many of them, that was the first time they'd ever had a belly that full. And he says, you know, to work for food is good. But I've got something real. Something better. Something that will fill you and keep the hunger pains away. There's a better kind of bread to work for that won't leave you feeling empty. That's the bread of God. And it gives life. It gives life to you and to me and to all of us here. It gives life to the whole world. And when people started asking about this special bread, and of course Jesus' words, and he talks about it specifically, makes them think of the manna. The manna that God gave to the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt and heading to the promised land. When their own food ran out, they were hungry, they began to starve, and they asked God to help them. So God gave them manna, a word that literally means "what is it?" but become known as the bread of heaven. That in the morning when the dew would rise, there would be bread on the ground, and they would take it and they would be able to eat it, and that fed them along their journey. So this imagery is coming to mind when Jesus is talking about bread from heaven. But then he says, "I am. I am it. I am that bread from heaven. I am the bread of life." In his words, "I am," are echoing how God identified himself with Moses. These are words that any good Jew would know, because when Moses asked God who God was, God said, "I am." And here Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life." And it hits them right where they are in that very moment of who Jesus is, that he is very real and present with them right there. And it astounds them. It kind of catches them back, because here's Jesus, the son of peasants, the child of Joseph and Mary, claiming that he, a man who was born in Bethlehem, a man who comes from a place that literally means the house of bread, he's claiming that he is the bread of life. But he doesn't stop there, because he goes on to teach that whoever believes in him and whoever eats this bread will have eternal life. In fact, whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood will have a new life full of God's grace, and will be raised with him into eternal life, and will be raised to life on the last day. And that anyone who partakes in his body and his blood, that he will be right there with them, and they will be with him, and he will always be there with them. And then he demonstrated this on that night before his crucifixion. He demonstrated the reality of this with his disciples. It's a moment that we're about to share here in a few minutes when we celebrate communion, of what Jesus did for us. But as we do, we're going to celebrate his love, celebrate his forgiveness, celebrate his sacrifice. We'll celebrate his presence through the body and the blood. And I want you to know that you are invited to receive. Because this table here is not my table to give permission or to deny permission on who can receive. This is not my table. This is not the table of First United Methodist Church. It's not the table of the United Methodist Church or of any Methodist church. This is the table of Christ. And Christ is inviting you to be present. He wants you to be here, to participate in this. John Wesley said, "Even those who don't know Christ are invited to the table, because there they may experience him and have a conversion experience." You are invited to this table because Christ is inviting you to participate in his body, in the bread of life. And he is offering himself to you and to others and to me and to all of us, because he is the bread of life to all people. He is offering himself so that our life can be better, that our life can be eternal, that we can be blessed to not only be Christ's presence, but to share Christ's presence. It is a moment where you can experience his presence right here, right now, as we do this together. Now, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your own, and your need for him, and asked him to be the center of your life, and made that promise to live your life for him, then today is the day. Today is your opportunity. I invite you to come see me after the service, because now is your chance. And I'll be glad to show you and tell you more of the gospel and share with you how Jesus can change your life for better forever. But you are all invited. And for those of us who know that we are living our life from Christ, and we want more of Jesus, we want more of Christ this Christmas, we want less of that chaos, and we want to be closer, then let me offer you some tips to help you experience more Christ and less chaos, to help you and your loved ones experience more Jesus Christ this Christmas. Are you ready? First, practical tip. Limit your menu. I know, that's going to make some of us comfortable, because it sounds wild, because we like having those 70 different things to eat at the table, the 70 different dishes, or maybe for you it's not 70, maybe it's more like 17, but even 17 is a lot, right? Limit your menu. Try keeping it down to only 7. What? Yeah. See if you can do 7, including your appetizers and desserts. I love a traditional Christmas meal. I mean, all the meats and the casseroles and the dessert. I mean, I get hungry just thinking about it. Several years ago, we decided to simplify our situation during the holidays and our menu. And let me tell you, having 7 items is glorious. But here's the thing. When Jesus is teaching and sharing meals and he's teaching about these feasts, it rarely matters what's in the feast. I mean, most of the time, what the food is isn't important. It's just that the food is there. And instead, what matters most is who's eating with you. Who are the people around the table? Who is represented at the table? In other words, what is this meal about? So this season, good food is great. But what's more important are the people that are there with you and who you're celebrating. We're celebrating Christ. Second, invite someone to have a meal with you, especially someone who doesn't have any family or friends around. Last year, we were invited to a neighbor's and a friend's house, and when we showed up there, there were several other what I call micro families, where there were just a couple people in each family. We all gathered together, and ended up being about 10 of us gathered around the table. And I have to tell you, it was a delightful time, and I was blessed and so thankful for that experience because I experienced Christ with them and through them. Third, when you're sharing that meal together at that table, it's a good thing to share what you're thankful for. That's kind of the trend, right? Who likes to celebrate a holiday meal and share some of the things you're thankful for? Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times we take an opportunity and we give God thanks for what we're grateful for in that moment. But here's something new. How about sharing how you want to give back? Share how you will give back over the next few days or over the holidays or even over the next year. Share how you will give back to your family. Share how you will give back to your friends. Share how you will give back to your community. Share how you will give back to your church. Share how you will give back to God. Finally, find a way to share and to give to those who are in need. Maybe it's a neighbor who has to work the holidays or doesn't have any family with them. Pack an extra plate with them. If they can't come over, pack something fresh for them and take it there because they need to be remembered. And through you remembering them, they're going to experience God's grace, God's love, God's presence. But maybe it's somebody you know who's struggling financially. Or maybe it's while you're getting your groceries, picking up some extra to donate to the Angel Food Pantry. Or maybe it's volunteering to serve a hot meal on our Wednesday or Thursday night meals sometime for a couple months over this year. Here's a trick. When you donate or fix food, do it with 2 things in mind. Think about what you like to eat. Because I'm guaranteeing you, you like good, fresh food. So does everyone else. Instead of digging out for the leftovers that are about to expire or those expired cans in the back of the shelf, if you're not going to eat those, don't donate those. Get something good, something fresh. That's what you give away. The stuff that you like, the stuff that you enjoy, treat them as you would yourself. Love your neighbor as you would, as you do yourself. Make it good. Make it worthwhile. Make it as an extension of Christ's Christmas grace and love. After all, through you, through your presence, through your love, through your generosity with them at the table, in the food line, at the grocery store, or wherever it is that you may meet them, you have an opportunity to show them Christian hospitality so that they may experience the presence of Christ through you.